This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Now it drops for Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score! They take advantage of the extra man, and they believe they're going to win the World Cup for the very first time.
And I am pretty sure that the sangria is still flowing on the streets of Spain after their dramatic last-second victory in soccer's World Cup final on Sunday. Though Spain is ranked number one in the world, it was a hard-fought victory against the Netherlands. Joining us now, draped in red and gold, not orange, is host of NPR's Only a Game, Bill Littlefield. Hey there, Bill.
Hey, Meghna.
Okay, so we finally made it through a month of hair-splitting, stomach-churning soccer with the World Cup. And I have to say, with this World Cup final in Spain versus Netherlands, as it was proceeding to the end of the game and into overtime, I thought I would not be able to handle it if it went into penalties.
Well, penalties are always to be avoided. I agree with you there.
Fortunately, we didn't have to deal with that, and Spain did win 1-0. So, you know, you really want to like the Netherlands. They haven't been to a World Cup final since 1978. They're the inventors of so-called total soccer, which was on display here, but in the end, Spain came out the winner.
Yeah, total soccer gave way to total thuggery, unhappily, in Sunday's game, and you don't like the Netherlands when they play soccer the way they were playing in that game. I'd still like visiting the Netherlands. I don't hold the whole country responsible. I think the real story, of course, was that Spain continued to play brilliant soccer despite the attempt by the Dutch players to beat them up and take their legs away from them by doing so. And, you know, the good guys won.
You know, I have to say that Spain showed a degree of artistry on the field, which I think now rivals Brazil in terms of their handling of the ball and their control of the game.
Terrific patience. In virtually every game they played, they monopolized possession of the ball. Some people were kind of jumping up and down saying, for goodness sake, take a shot. but it was quite something to watch. They played brilliantly, and as I say, the better team won.
And I know that you are a fan of Barcelona.
Absolutely.
So, but you mentioned all that thuggery. A record 14 yellow cards handed out by referee Howard Webb in this game, including one which a lot of people should have thought should have been a red card when a Netherlands player put his boot into the chest of a Spanish player.
Yeah, so. Really no explanation for why that didn't result in a red card and an expulsion from the pitch, except that it happened early enough in the game, so I think the referee may have been thinking, gee, I really don't want to make it 11 against 10 this early in the World Cup final. But it was that kind of a game, unfortunately, and as I say, all credit to Spain that they managed to keep playing.
And apparently nothing could escape the eye of Howard Webb, the referee, because in his off time, he's apparently a policeman in England.
He is a police officer, although he did say after the final it was the hardest 2 hours of his career, which I think says something about the way the Dutch were playing that game.
Now, looking back over this past month of World Cup play and bringing it back here to the United States, it seemed like the interest in the tournament didn't wane, actually, after even the United States made its exit.
I think that's true. I think the U.S. gave people a terrific ride. They have this very curious strategy of letting the other team score first and then waiting until there was almost no time left to snatch a tie or sometimes even a win from the jaws of defeat. And it got a lot of people excited. There were a lot of people who weren't even U.S. citizens rooting for the U.S. to keep doing that magical Houdini act that they were doing. But, you know, if you look back to the 2006 World Cup, the ratings were terrific. They outdrew the World Series that year. So it's not exactly new that lots of people in this country are paying attention to soccer at the highest level. But it is very encouraging that they continue to do so and that MLS continues to grow and all good things come.
On the other hand, there's going to be soccer at the Fenway next week. In fact, a week from today, between two international teams, Glasgow Celtic and Sporting Lisbon from Portugal. And I hear that that game is not even yet sold out.
No, so. Unhappily, that game was supposed to be Celtic against Rangers. And that would have sold out in about 10 minutes here in Boston. But they were not able to make that happen. So this is sort of the second string of the visit to Fenway, the two teams visiting Fenway. It may be that they get a better ticket sales. We get closer to the event.
All right. Well, on to other special sporting moments. Of course, last night was Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. Not maybe the most exciting game, but notable because for the first time since 1996, the National League actually took home a victory over the American League.
Yeah. Now, there are two schools of thought on the All-Star Game. One is it's an exhibition that doesn't really matter, the players don't really care who wins, and it's very hard for a shortstop and second baseman who don't know each other's names to turn a good double play. The other theory is, of course, Commissioner Bud Selig has made it matter because home field advantage for the World Series is determined by which team wins the All-Star game, which is something of a silly rule. But, hey, the National League won, and the two Red Sox who played did okay. Ortiz got a hit, and Lester pitched a good inning, and now we'll see whether the Red Sox can field a team for the second half of the baseball season.
Yeah, given that disabled list, which doesn't seem to want to shrink.
No, growing all the time. I think they've set a record with number of people simultaneously on the disabled list. And then, of course, the other problem with the Red Sox is they're in division with the Yankees and the Rays, who are both very competent baseball teams at this point. So it'll be a bit of a struggle, I would think, through the second half of the season for them.
And speaking of the Yankees, of course, yesterday, owner George Steinbrenner passed away. So even though we are in Red Sox Nation, your thoughts about Mr. Steinbrenner?
Well, he was a wealthy, ambitious, loud man who spent $10 million, some of it his own money, to buy a baseball team and then reconstituted it. And it won a bunch of championships during the time of their winning and their rebuilding. He was absent some of the time because he was suspended from baseball for giving a lot of money to Richard Nixon under the table. But he was also, obviously a prime force in rebuilding Yankee Stadium and then deciding that rebuilding it wasn't enough and replacing Yankee Stadium. If you regard that as a very good thing, then you regard George Steinbrenner as a very effective businessman.
Well, that is Only a Game. That's Bill Littlefield. You can hear him on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. And, of course, on Wednesdays here with us on Radio Boston. Bill, thanks as always.
Thank you, Magna.